Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us once again this week as we get into the Word of God. We're continuing with our study of what is faith, who has faith, how do you use faith, how do you develop your faith. And in doing that, we're actually expanding it just a bit to talk about questions that various folks have sent in. And along these lines, along the lines of the operation of faith. So we're talking about that, but specifically last time we talked about questions that folks had emailed me and asked, and of course we're always happy to answer questions. So I really enjoy getting your emails and really enjoy getting questions from you. So if you want to send me an email, my email address is drbill, drbill, that's one word. I'll put it up on the screen here. drbill at wofm.org. WOFM is Word of Faith Ministries.org, of course, is a nonprofit organization designator. So that's a very simple email address. You can send that to me and I'll be glad to read your questions. And if I, you know, have an immediate answer for you, I'll send it right out. If not, I may study some things out before I send you a response, or we may answer it right here on the netcast. So stay tuned to the netcast for answers to your questions. So I always enjoy doing that. Let me start something over here on the computer that I need. A little housekeeping there, and that will keep me straight. It's a timer that tells me how long I've been teaching, praise the Lord, and I need to be sure not to run under time or over time, because we are on WOFR Radio. Now, WOFR Radio, of course, I talk to you about that every week, and we have a weekly program that is the audio from this video netcast. So you may occasionally hear me say things like I did a minute ago, that's, you know, where I say I'll put it up on the screen. Well, I'm talking about the video. But of course, if you're listening to the audio on Word of Faith Radio on Sunday mornings, we are on right after Brother Kenneth Copeland. Brother Copeland comes on at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. We follow him at 9:30. He didn't have an hour program anymore. It's a half hour program. So 9 to 9:30, and then we come on from 9:30 to 10, and then we're followed by Van Crouch. And he has some humorous things to talk about sometimes. I enjoy hearing his stories. And, you know, he's just got quite a sense of humor. He's actually been at our church at Faith and Victory Church. And he used his official canned joke of, you know, is that some wild animal that crawled up under your neck and died? Talking about my beard. I think he does that everywhere, though. And he does it in love, of course. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, I digressed a bit on that, but let's go into the Word of God and talk about some of the things that we've been referring to. Last time when we left off, we were talking about the question that somebody sent me that basically asked, is God still doing the same kind of things today that he did during Jesus' earthly ministry? Now, yes, Jesus, you know, he laid hands on the sick. They recovered. He caused blind eyes to be opened. He just did so many miracles. He turned the water into wine. He walked on the water. All of these wonderful, marvelous things. And, of course, he was raised from the dead. I mean, praise the Lord, that's a tremendous miracle. But, you know, didn't all that stop, Brother Bill? I mean, we don't see that happening today. Well, let me tell you this, you're going to the wrong places if you're not seeing it happen today. If you go to a church that's preaching the uncompromised word of faith, the miraculous happens all the time. Brother Kenneth Copeland has a phrase that he uses, we live in the realm of the supernatural. Oh, I love that. We live in the realm of the supernatural. And what he means by that is, God is a supernatural God. Amen? And we are his children. And let's find out. You know, remember we were doing it this way. I want to kind of refresh your memory here. We were doing it this way. We said Jesus is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh, meaning Jesus, and dwelt among us. He dwelt here on earth in his earthly ministry. So Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. We also know that Jesus said that everything he did is what he saw his Father do. Everything he said is what he heard his Father say, that during his earthly ministry, he didn't minister, now listen closely to this, he didn't minister as the second person of the Godhead, even though he was, okay, understand that, he was, is, and ever will be God made flesh. But when he came to earth, he ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. We know that's true because he didn't do any miracles until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Remember, John the Baptist baptized him. He came up out of the water and they saw, as it were, a dove coming down and settling upon him. And the Lord said, God the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil. And of course we know that he overcame all of those temptations, and it said the devil left him for a better season, trying to find a time when he could come back. And of course he never found a good one, did he? Praise the Lord. Jesus never sinned. He never committed sin. Amen? All right. But all of the time that he was on earth, he was functioning as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? So what he was doing on the earth, literally, I know this kind of blows a lot of minds, theologically speaking, but what he was doing on the earth, he did simply as a man. That's why Jesus could say, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. And then he said, I'm going to send another comforter, and he's going to empower you. He's going to instruct you. He's going to be, see, that's the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. And he guides us, he directs us, and he empowers us. Amen. Woo, get excited. Amen. I tell you, you know, like I said last time, I done preached myself happy. Well, I'm already there. I done preached myself happy this time. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go back to the scripture we left off with at the end of the last netcast. And by the way, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that netcast, kind of get caught up, because I don't want to go back and repeat a whole lot. But let's look at, by the way, I've got my tablet here that has Cadre Bible on it. CadreBible.com, where you can get an Android-based Bible for your notebook. And it's just a blessing, because I can not only read it in big print, praise the Lord, but I can also go into Strong's and get the Strong's meanings for the words, the Strong's Concordance. So that's an awesome benefit. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 13, and let's look at verse 8. Now remember, Jesus, as I said, is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. So we go to Jesus, we go to the Word, and we ask Jesus the question, Jesus, have you changed your operation? Are you doing things differently today than you used to? See, that was the question that was sent to me. Isn't God doing things differently? Well, here it is in verse, where did I leave off here? 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same. Now, what is the same? I'm going to find out here. I'm going to look it up in the Strong's. I just mentioned I could do that. It is the word autos in the Greek. And there's a lot of explanation here, but I'm going to get to the actual definition. It is used alone or in the comparative of the third person and means the own said self or same. In other words, he's talking about himself, in a sense. He's talking about sameness of personhood, okay? Jesus Christ, the same. He doesn't change. Let's put it that way. That's a good way to put it. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Now, yesterday is in the past. Amen. Today, you remember we talked about this. This was a great revelation that we got into. We found out that now is always now. When now is past, it's no longer now, it was then. Now became then. Now is now. Now we got another now, because that now became then. You see what I'm saying? All right, it's a continual present tense. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, that's in the past, and today, that's in the now, and forever, that's in the future. So from a time sense, from a time perspective, we've got the past, we've got the present, and we've got the future. Now, what else is there? Let me just ask you that question. What else is there besides the past, the present, and the future? Anything far enough into the future is still future. Amen? Particularly when you phrase it the way they did here, forever. Not just future, but forever future. Any future you can possibly have. Amen? So Jesus Christ is the same in the past. He's the same right now, or as they say in the South, right now, and in the future, but not only just the future, the forever future. Woo, hallelujah. We also made the point last time that God has not changed who He is. He has always revealed Himself by His names, what we call the covenant names of God, Jehovah or Yahweh being God's name, and then He appended, you might say, an extension onto His name to describe part of His personality. The first compound name of God that He used was Jehovah Rapha in the Hebrew. That is Yahweh Rapha. Now, what is that? That is the Lord that healeth thee. Rapha is the healer, speaks of healing. So physical healing has been part of God's nature yesterday, today, and forever. That does not change. God is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Shalom, which is peace, soundness, safety, completeness. Oh, that word shalom is a full word. It has a tremendous meaning. And Jehovah Shalom has always been Jehovah Shalom. Amen? And you can study out all the compound names of God, and you can check out all those meanings, and you know what? God's the same then, now, and in the future. Praise the Lord. So He hasn't changed. God hasn't changed His method of operation. You know, when they talk about catching a criminal, they talk about his modus operandi. Well, that's a fancy Latin way of saying his mode of operation, the way he operates. They catch that criminal because a criminal tends to do the same thing every time. If he breaks in a certain way, he'll break in that way again. So that's what they mean by that modus operandi. Well, God's got a modus operandi, and it involves healing. It involves blessing. It involves prospering. It involves healing. It involves being the blesser that God is. He is our Heavenly Father, and He blesses us. Ooh, I tell you, He blesses your socks completely off. Hallelujah. And then get you new socks after you've gotten those knocked off. Because He's constantly providing. He's constantly blessing. He's constantly being our supply. Hallelujah. Ooh. Oh, I tell you, I get excited about these things. But this is one of the questions that somebody asked. Now, here's another question. And I'm looking over at my computer to see the list of questions here that folks have sent in. Are there really apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers operating today? In other words, is the fivefold ministry really for today? Wasn't that also in the past? Now, let me just say something here while I go to the scripture. I'm going to go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Ephesians. That's where I wanted to go. Ephesians chapter 4. But while I'm going there, let me just make this point. Why is it, have you ever thought about this? Why is it that folks want to relegate all the good stuff, I'm going to put it that way, to the past? Have you ever really thought about that? Why is it that all the pastors, and I'm talking about just a certain segment of pastors, there's a lot of good pastors out there, hallelujah, but a certain segment, or a certain segment of theologians, you know, what they might call mainstream theologians, why is it they want to put everything to the past? Well, I'll tell you why. Because everything that's in the past is unreachable. Listen to this closely. It's unreachable. It is untouchable. And it has no bearing on their individual lives as far as their daily walk, their daily life. In other words, they may believe in healing as long as it was healing in the past, because they don't have to believe for their own healing. Now, I'm being a little harsh here, but I'm trying to make a point. Okay? Don't think I'm just being mean. Okay? Listen closely. They put it in the past, as long as it is relegated to the past. They, listen closely, they don't have to deal with it. They don't have to believe for it. They don't have to be responsible for it. And, I'm going to make some folks mad right here. Get ready to get mad, okay? But don't send me any letters, because you're just wasting your ink or your computer bits, okay? Because this is Bible. All right? We already read in the Bible, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We already said that God's nature doesn't change. He is unchangeable. Matter of fact, there's a great song, The Unchangeable Lord, hallelujah, that David Ingalls sings. I tell you what, God doesn't change. But for those that think that he has changed, why? Because they don't want to be responsible for the truth that it's all available today, but they have to apply themselves to the Word of God. They have to believe the Word of God. They have to confess with their mouth God's Word. They have to put some things in action and in motion in order to receive the blessing of healing, the blessing of financial prosperity, the blessings, really. Let's just put it that way. The blessings of God. All the things that God has for us. You receive by faith. It doesn't just fall on you like ripe apples falling off a tree. No, you have to apply yourself. You have to be responsible for your own operation in faith. And that's why they'd rather relegate it to the past, because they don't want to be responsible for it. Now, I know a lot of folks are hearing that and they're saying, oh, Dr. Bill, you think you're just such a hotshot. You're just being so brazen and you're just being so full of pride. That's why you say these things. It has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. I challenge you to say that it's full of pride and conceit and all of that, because it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not some kind of hotshot at all. See, that's the implication. People think, oh, you're just saying you're so sharp and you've got such great faith. I've even had people tell me, well, I guess I don't have your kind of faith. Like they're trying to say that I'm saying I'm better than they are. Well, first of all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. It didn't say faith cometh only to Dr. Bill by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says faith cometh. It cometh to anybody. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That same chapter of Romans 10 says that. So it's a whosoever scripture. You know about the whosoever scriptures? I raise my hand because in our church, whatever you say, whosoever, you raise your hand and say, that meaneth me. Amen. That is an exercise that we do on purpose to remind ourselves that we're all whosoevers. That meaneth me. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially, and delivered from every temporal evil. That's the meaning of the word sozo, which is translated saved. Okay? So, that being the case, I'm not saying I'm some kind of hot shot because I believe God. I'm just a plain old whosoever. You're a plain old whosoever. You can be the whosoever who says. You can be the whosoever who speaks the word. You can be the whosoever that believes the word of God. And then it will happen in your life, just like it has happened in my life. I've been healed. I've been raised up out of a hospital bed. I've been healed of all kinds of things that put me flat in the bed for a quarter of a year. I mean, just a few years ago, I was down and out in my back. It wouldn't let me get up. I couldn't get up out of bed. Praise God. But now I'm healed, whole, delivered. Glory to God. Why? Because I said, I'm not staying in this bed. I'm getting up out of this bed because I'm the healed of the Lord. Jesus bore my sicknesses. He carried my diseases. By his stripes we were healed. If we were healed, then I am healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm not going to stay in this bed because I'm getting up, because people who are well don't lay in bed all day. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? I acted on the word. I spoke the word, and the word came to pass in my life. Yeah, but Dr. Bell, I can't do that. Why not? Are you special? Are you some kind of special case that it won't work for you? See, I'm going to turn it around on you. There's people that say, you think you're special. No, I don't think I'm special, but you must think you're special because it doesn't work for you. Now, think about this. You folks out there that don't think it works for you, listen to this. Think about this. From God's perspective, you're standing in God's face and saying, your word doesn't work for me. The Bible doesn't work for me. Speaking your word back to you does not work for me because I'm special. It doesn't work for me. Well, you arrogant cuss you. How dare you say it not work for you? Jesus died. He bore your sickness and diseases. He bore stripes on his back for your healing. And you laying there saying it won't work for me. Well, how dare you? You arrogant son of a gun. You need to get up and get a hold of the word of God and get off your pity party and start believing the word of God. Because it's unto you and to your children and those that are far off, any even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Now, I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're saying amen. You say, how can you tell? You're on a video. Well, I know some of you are saying amen, but there's a whole lot of you out there grinding your teeth. How dare he say that? How dare he? My such and such, uncle, aunt, wife, husband, whatever you want to substitute, child, died. How dare you say that? Well, I don't care. It didn't change the word of God. Now, I care that you've been through an issue and you've had a problem and you've hurt. I've been there. But the Bible didn't change. God's word didn't change. What he said he would do didn't change. The devil has come to steal and to kill and destroy. And if you wallow around in the stealing and the killing and the destroying that he's trying to do to you, you're just going to be a sorry cuss the rest of your life and not get the benefits of the word of God. Did you hear that? Ooh, some of you just want to crank up your computer and write me letters now. Yeah, it won't do any good. You done come too late to tell me it doesn't work. It works, folks. The Bible works, whether it's on a tablet or on paper. I've got it on paper behind me here. A lot of them. Praise the Lord. I tell you, folks, you got to put it to work. It will work for anybody that puts it to work. Do you understand that? Have you got that? Now, if you're going to lay around and do nothing, you're going to get nothing. Nothing from nothing leaveth nothing. Hallelujah. I'm laughing about that because my pastor tells a story about it. Some guy heard on the radio called the Georgia Prophet. He said, some of you can send me $100, some of you can send me $50, and some of you won't send me nothing. And as the scripture saith, nothing from nothing leaveth nothing. Well, I think that's the scripture of first opinions because it's not in the Bible. Praise the Lord. But it sure applies here when it comes to healing and prosperity and all the other things. If you don't do nothing, you're going to get nothing. Amen. That's just the truth. Oh, my, we're out of time. Some of you said, good. Man, it done blown my mind. Well, praise the Lord. What you need to do is back this netcast up and listen to it about 3 or 4 times. Get over being mad. Listen to this now. Get over being mad. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And listen to it and let it get into your spirit, praise the Lord, and motivate you. Amen. All right, you can write me here at Word of Faith Ministries, our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina, our zip code 27262. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, You can write me at our email address, which is drbill, Dr. Bill, at wofm.org. Join me again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around